your spiritual journey, no matter where you start. Some people start with a little bit more foundation than other people. It's our hope that you'll find salvation in Jesus, that you'll become his follower, fall in love with him, and that you'll stand before him in eternity having accomplished his will for your life. That's our hope and our goal here. And today, a life of faith in Jesus Christ is being pushed to the side in the public square. The truth of the gospel is being minimalized, and there's a falling away from the faith that was predicted in Scripture. Yet there's also coming a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of God's glory and his presence. And we're contending, along with many in the body of Christ, for the release of what God wants to do. And it's really good when God comes in and takes over. It's just really, really nice. And those who have a longing for him, there's days of fulfillment and fullness unprecedented on the horizon. So do not be discouraged today. Those who long for his coming will experience a depth and intimacy of his love, the sustaining and freeing power of his grace, and the overflow of the gifts. I love that. The overflow of the gifts of the Spirit to touch people's lives and be filled with the power that comes through the gospel. Today also, people are coming from very broken situations, broken families, broken lives, no particular foundation in the faith. Maybe never even heard the word of God, didn't grow up in church. Things have just come apart in their life. There's a lot of wounded souls, a lot of unimaginable hurts that people have experienced through rejection, abandonment, bitter life experiences. And so they're looking for hope today. And we want to be a place where people come in and they have the love of God begin to manifest in their heart, and they begin to awaken to a hope that only Jesus can touch and bring help to them. When Jesus looked on the multitude, he saw that the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And here's the deal. No matter how harassed or helpless you may feel, this is the deal. God loves you deeply. And he's still hovering and causing people's hearts, pastors and different people of faith, to rise up and meet the need to be available to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has laid down his life. Here's the big deal. He's laid down his life to forgive us, to help us. How many of you found out that a dose of forgiveness is a really good deal? How many of you blundered enough that you realize, I need more of God than I ever imagined? A whole lot more. Usually it's like this. You get a little and then you realize how much more you need. And he's everlasting and continually giving more, because you think, okay, he met this need, but I don't know if he can meet this one. And your faith begins to grow. How many on the journey you realize it doesn't matter what you face? He's going to be there. I'm relearning that right now because the culture's shifting around. The scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that Jesus was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard and he says this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. So you can't shock me with how much sin you have. It's like, the unshockable love. You know, how many of you're worse than, you know you're worse than what people see. And that Jesus has done a good grace work here. Isn't that right? And Jesus said these things. He said, come to me. Everybody say, come to me. He said, come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you come to Jesus, and then you leave your burden, and you take up his yoke, and you find rest for your souls. And I'm talking this today because there's so much that I want to establish as far as on God's terms, how he does things, because they're not my terms. How many of you figured when it comes to running your life and you've already messed it up, you need somebody's terms to work out? So God has these terms. And I want to go ahead. Number one, God says the salvation is on God's terms as well. There are many people that have all kinds of options going today. And I want to go ahead and tell you, the eternal salvation of Jesus Christ comes one way. And it comes, it says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that will be contested all over the place. I want to say this, Jesus is the way, so he's saying, follow me. He's the truth, so he's going to learn from me. And he's the life, so he's saying, abide in me, abide in me. Now here's the deal, Jesus is not a life. You have a life, I have a life. But Jesus is the life, and nobody else in the entire universe has actually said that. Jesus is the life. Everybody say, the life. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through the life. The life. He laid down his life and he took it up. He died for our sin. I was talking with a person when I was on vacation, and they've gone through recovery, things like that. And he had a particular, he was thinking of something, and he wasn't really open to hear, but he was thinking, he had the concept of Jesus being an example for him. And that's good. Jesus is our example, no question about it. But he was still wondering about the forgiveness. I said, before Jesus is the example, he was the debt that was paid. Jesus was the price that was laid down. His blood that was shed has covered your sins. And he couldn't receive that. We're doing this in a sauna. So having a hot topic. And people have some screwball ideas. But just to receive the reality that Jesus Christ paid for what you couldn't pay for. He paid for your sin. You can't pay for your sins. You can't work hard enough to pay for them. It's Jesus's grace is undeservable. And it's shocking to the average soul. You feel like I need to buy in. So I need to do something. And the Lord says, receive the gift. Doesn't that just kind of grate on your old flesh? It's free. Now we'll get to the cost in a minute, but the terms of salvation is that Jesus Christ has purchased your salvation through the shed blood, this precious blood. And because of that, now all you can do is receive, because the wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So you can come to know him by receiving a free gift. And he wants your heart to be filled with the assurance that you have received him. Salvation is the spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, in whom alone it is obtained and upon confession of him as Lord. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else. Go ahead and tell somebody, you can't be saved by any other means but Jesus. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Romans says this way, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I want to tell you this too. To God, salvation is extremely personal. He wants you to actually know him and have a relationship with him. It's a personal salvation. It's not that your family is all involved and you don't know him. See, there's a lot of misunderstanding in the culture. People say, because I go to a church, I'm a Christian. Well, that would be like if I've slept in the garage, I would be a car. Just because you go to a church doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with God. Or that you received the rich salvation to have the assurance. There comes a moment when you come to him and you say, I need you. People have religious thoughts all the time. They're all over the map these days. It's horrendous. And there's one Savior in one way, and he is the way and the only way. He is the truth and the only truth. He is the life. And this is the terms that God has. He says, if you would confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. And there is no other name. And he's a sacrificial Savior. I love this. Jesus said in John 10, he said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So Jesus came on a mission to destroy the works of the devil by giving himself in our place, breaking the power of sin at the cross, and then rising from the dead. And let me tell you, there are 500 people that saw him. It's irrefutable. He didn't just kind of get weak on the cross and then go hide out and then come back up. He died. You know when you push a spear up inside somebody's heart, what happens when the blood and water comes out? That means he died through asphyxiation. He's dead. That's called suffocation. He's gone. He's dead. His body was dead. Dead, dead, dead. Jesus died on the cross. He's dead on the cross. He gave his body. He's dead on the cross. And then he went and put him in the tomb. And over 500 people. And when Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians 15, when he wrote, it says there's over 500, those people were still alive and you could go talk to them. They were still there. And it's so funny that every single gospel shows that the women showed up first. And women were not considered to be viable witnesses. But they were more concerned of telling the truth than telling a story. And they validated. And they were afraid. They were, till Jesus showed up, they were all afraid and hiding in a room somewhere. This is a historical account. Josephus said he's real. And Josephus was rather an arrogant old Jewish historian. Different ones acknowledge the reality that Jesus was not only a historic person but rose from the dead. So just go ahead and be comforted in the reality that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And his Holy, when you cry out to him, his Holy Spirit shows up and puts assurance in your heart that you can't get from any other place except through the breath of God and causes you to know. Isn't that true, Phyllis? You can go down in the waters of baptism and have an encounter and feel like you've been to heaven. That was a great day, wasn't it? Power of God. Jesus wants you to know he's real. And he's going to remove doubts from you and cause you to know him in ways that are deep. And so salvation is on his terms. But I want you to know the discipleship is on God's terms. Discipleship. All right, I want you to repeat something with me. Discipleship. Go ahead, discipleship. Is about loving God the way he loves me. Discipleship is about loving God the way he loves me. Let's say it again. Discipleship is about loving God the way he loves me. Now here's what it boils down to. Military people like this. It boils down to total surrender and discipline. How many of you, I've heard it said this way, salvation is free, discipleship costs you everything. But discipleship is on God's terms, not your terms, because there will be a test, which we'll get to the third one. But the third one is judgment is on God's terms. And people don't want to know about that. They want to know, people, the whole reason the world wants to reject the existence of God is because they don't want to be accountable. And just because you say he's not there is not going to do you any good. It doesn't matter if you say he's not there or not. You're all going to show up before him. Everybody's going to show up and give account of how they lived. And you know what? This is not like a real big popular theme. In a world where we were taught in the rebellion of the 60s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Live free, and then you raise people that are totally nuts, have no bounds at all, completely confused, no foundation at all. The boomers left a foundation, the millennials got nothing. There's nothing to leave. They never got it. Unless they show up in a place like this and hear the word and start reading the word. You're there? So you're left up to your own devices. This is how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Oh, this, boy, everybody just take a big breath. Ready? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, go ahead, read it out. Let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And then everybody leaves the room. I want to be able to do whenever I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want to do it. I don't want to deny myself. The whole culture. Do whatever you want to do.
Well, I'll do whatever I do as long as I'm hurting anybody.
Deny himself, take up his cross daily. What's the point on this one? Discipleship is on whose terms? And he wants you to love him the way he loves you. And here's a little step here. Is this rough? Is this rough on your old flesh? It's rough on mine. I don't even like this verse. I don't like that verse. How many of you, I love this verse. Oh, I love this, my favorite verse. How many of this is like a rub against your flesh? That's right. If anyone would come after me, Jesus saying, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, discipleship is like this. I have a sin problem. It didn't go away when I received him. My nature is a sinful nature. And in my private world, I have wrestling matches and fights because I crave something that causes my life to go off the tracks. Is that right? And I got quite an appetite for it. And I want it when I want it. Hello? And the Lord says, come here. Do you love me? And I go, I love you, but I love this too. And we got a conflict. Is that right? And over a period of time, when you submit yourself to the love of God and you start to learn his pathway, how many of you have repented over something more than one time? Welcome to the family of God. The rich work of the Holy Spirit. Come here, son, let's repent again. Caught in it again, right? Repenting again. And no shame in the Lord. No shame in the Lord. It's better to have 1 foot out of hell heading toward heaven. That's right. Than 1,000 miles away from hell headed to it. And the Lord wants to empower us to walk with him. And over the period of years, a decade go by, another decade go by, and changes happen in your heart. And things go, you begin to see your relationship with God. And if you seek him, he'll begin to speak things and help you with things that you never thought possible. Is that true? How many of you old timers, you know, I've been through a lot and I realize the Lord loves me and that's pretty much settled. How many of you have something on yourself? You know, yeah, I got a weakness over here and I can't go there very often. It's discipleship. You learn, don't go down that road. That's not the road I go down. I don't live there. I don't look there. I don't listen there. I don't feed there. This is not what I'm about. Because discipleship is loving God the way he loved us. And Jesus, he left everything that he was. He left his glory. He left everything that he was. He was equal with God. He set that aside. He humbled himself, became the form of a man, form of a servant, became man and submitted himself to the death on the cross. And the Bible says, I want you to have this mind as well, the same mind that Jesus had, that he humbled himself. And there comes a humility. And you look at things and you say, before you used to say, oh, I can handle it, and you could never handle it. How many of you know sin handles you? You don't handle it. It handles you. And so you say, you learn the pathway of repentance. You begin to learn the healing process. You learn to say, man, my whole family was wrapped up in this. This ain't easy. This is the way we were. Lord says, but you're in a new family. And we live differently than that. And you know, it's funny. When you talk in these general terms, everybody has a specific. Everybody has very specific things that they know that there's their vulnerabilities. There's their area. And the Lord says, I am here to disciple you out of the things that have tormented you and hurt you and scarred you and caused you to fall prey to the work of darkness. Is there anybody here that has experienced Jesus as a healer of any wounding in their soul? Is there anybody here that has experienced Jesus as a coach that believes in you? Is there anybody here that's receive Jesus as a mentor who speaks wisdom into your heart? He wants to awaken us. He's always there. I feel like I'm supposed to say this. This kind of just jumped in there. If you have been facing dry spells, spend time worshiping Him. Get in. Don't just do it here. Get in. Enter His presence. The work of hell is to keep you out of His presence and cause you to dry up. The work of darkness is to keep you all alone and put on that complaining vibe. I've had times when I've had to rise up and come against a sense of being stuck and rise up and deal with it and come and praise Him and praise Him and praise Him until I have a momentum in my heart and rise out of that. And I think this is a word that you need to say, hey, crank it up, crank up some CD, sing your heart out, get into that, right? Nick did an incredible word. If you're just the quiet time, just seek him, write it down. Let Him whisper into you. Do not return to a desert place at this time. Don't do that. Stand your ground. Now, we are, everybody say this with me. We're the sheep in His flock. We're sons in the family. We're the bride of Christ. We're soldiers in God's army. We're athletes in the race of faith. We're farmers in God's field. We're members in His body. Let's praise the Lord. Jesus has done all that in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And next, lastly, Jesus, the judgment is on God's terms. And I won't spend a lot of time with this, but yikes, yikes, yikes. Judgment, 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 judgment. There's a judgment day. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of accounting that's coming for every person. Every single person. Now, this great white throne judgment is separate than the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, you've already come. Jesus has already washed your sins away. And now this particular judgment, when you come before Him, it has to do with the deeds that were done in the flesh. And the Bible says this, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So everybody gets that. Now, I put that up on the overhead, but I didn't put this. So this is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 3:11, starting with 11 through 15. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Basically, it's this. You've lived like a dirty little snot your whole Christian life. You just barely make it in, and you get there, and all you got is your decisions, never submitting to God, never seeking God's will, but you just received Him. And you get up there and they build a bonfire with all your works, and it's just ashes pour out, and you got in. Praise the Lord, because of Jesus you got in. But what if you sought the Lord with all your heart and you wanted every decision in life to be made based on what He wanted, and you sought Him about it, and you fought with your own sin load, and you've come and wrestled through these things, and then you begin to hear from Him, and you have a touch through His life, and now you're helping build a foundation in other people's lives, and you're building something, and now you come up, and it's gold and silver and precious stone, and there's something of a reward that comes to you, and you didn't get in by the skin of your teeth. Jesus is actually saying, well done. How many of you want that? Because that's going to happen. Tell somebody next to you, judgment's coming, it's coming, judgment's coming, it's coming. It's going to come. Does this do anything for you? I came upon the awareness that these are the themes that the culture hates. Nobody wants to deal with God's terms. They want to say, I came from a monkey. I evolved. I have a God. My God is primordial soup, and amoebas climbed out of it, and millions and billions and millions and billions of years. And I tell you what, you put the pieces of a watch in a bag, and you can shake it for billions of years. And when you open it up, there's not going to be a watch in there. Oh, man, it's just crazy. Revelation 20 says this, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire." That's the second judgment. That's the judgment of those that rejected Jesus. And you know what Jesus said the odds were? 25% who hear the gospel will respond. He said, "The sower sows the seed, and the first don't hear it all. The second jump up for a little bit and say, yay, and then they leave because of tribulation. The thirds just let the cares of the world choke it all out, the desire for riches or other things. And then there's this 25%. I wish it was 25%. Because then there's a 30, 60, and 100-fold, and you begin to, and there's some that will say, I want to learn the way of the Lord. I want to know Him. And it's never too late to be transformed by the work of the Spirit. Don't let the world scratch your itch. Bring your itch to Jesus. Stay on course. No matter how dark the days, no matter how severe the trial, no matter how lonely or lost you feel, stand up and worship the living God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put away sins that tangle you up and quit lying to yourself and stop complaining. Rejoice when the days are hard and become an encourager. Encourage those around you. Be positive. Stay in faith. Turn to God for His love. Be built up by the Holy Spirit. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Commit your days to Jesus. You'll wish you did, and there's grace to do it. Focus on being a blessing. Develop a thankful heart. Commune with God throughout the day. Believe and receive. Put on the armor of God. Stand in the evil day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no room for the works of the flesh. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Lift up the hands of those that hang down. Fulfill your calling in Christ. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You'll wish you did, and there's grace to do it. Pray for people, prefer others, care about people who are different from you. Walk worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. Cry out to God for the Spirit to move upon the earth. Ask God to save people around you. Have a ready answer for what you believe about Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus. When someone insults you, don't insult them back. Walk in the Spirit. You'll wish you did. And there's grace to do it. Read the Word. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Seek God's highest and best. You'll wish you did, because there's a day coming and there's grace to do it. Forgive others like you've never forgiven before. Forgive thoroughly. Forgive deeply. Forgive often and walk in the Spirit of forgiveness. You'll wish you did. Everybody say, and there's grace to do it. Tell the person, you wish you did, because there's a day coming. There's a day coming, and you and I will stand before Him. And it can be a good day. It doesn't have to be a bad day. It doesn't have to be I threw my whole worthless life away. It can be a valuable day and a blessed day and a day of honor where you lived your life and Jesus Christ was honored with your life. Let the goodness that's in you be invested in others. Get out of your selfishness and get into the fullness of God's purpose. You wish you did, and there's grace to do it. Lift up your head. Look to Him. These are harsh days. Look to Him. Don't let anything discourage you and put you down. You wish you did, and there's grace to do it. Let's go ahead and say, there's grace to do it. There's grace to become what you can't be. In yourself. We were talking about this the other night. My God, I can't live for Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I don't do anything except the Father does it in me. But you can do everything I just said through Jesus Christ living inside of you. All of it works because Jesus comes through. His Spirit will break off those things that hassle you. He will cause you to let go of things. There'll come a moment you go, I'm not a pervert anymore. I don't have a problem like that anymore. Jesus has cleansed my mind.
You'll wake up one day and go, I'm not yelling at my wife anymore. I'm not the problem anymore. Dear God, I'm on the other side of this. What happened? Because the grace of God worked in you, and you can do it. Tell somebody, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Say it out loud. I can do this. I can do it. In Jesus Christ, you can live the life that you could never live before. You can always do it because of His power and His Spirit. You can be more positive than you've ever been before. You don't have to be a down in the mouth and every time you turn around complaining because you're stuck where you're complaining. You can break the spirit of complaining, and you wish you would have. You can spend 20 years and then die and show up, and all you realize in your whole life was, I was just nothing but a complainer, and it all burns up in the fire. There's those that will say, I did lots of things in your name. He says, yeah, let me show them to you. And they all burned up in the fire. How about let's just get rid of pride right now? Yes. Not that easy, is it? Because it just keeps showing up. But you'll wish you did. And there's grace to do it. Let's just lift our hearts. Because I think the Lord's just, He's lifting a load off of somebody. There's the presence to lift the weight, the burden of sin. Something of victory just shifted into the room. And the Lord's washing. I sense that. He's washing the hearts. Go ahead and let Him do it. You don't have to carry the guilt. You don't have to carry the shame. You don't have to carry the failure. You don't have to carry it. 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 Jesus, learn of me, take up my yoke, and allow me to teach you who I am. The Lord is your victory. The Lord is your victory right here. Let's praise Him now. Let's praise Him. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Everyone, keep your eyes closed, please, for the courtesy of privacy for everyone else. The load He was just speaking about right now, I'm telling you, all you have to do is put your feet down and push your body up and stand right where you are. The only people that can see you are me and Pastor right now. And you know there's no judgment from us. And watch, just your standing, the Lord will release whatever that is on you right now in the name of Jesus. I command whatever that is on you right now to come off in Jesus' name. Come off. Now, stick your hands straight up in the air and say, thank you, Lord. I surrender completely to you in this matter. In Jesus' name. There it is. It's Hallelujah. Breaking off right now. It's breaking off right now. You know what it is. Nobody else knows what it is. Nobody else cares what it is. It's between you and God right now.
Yes.
It's coming off. It's breaking off
Let's
right
go ahead
now.
And praise
in
the
Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Praise the Lord.
It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken.
Praise
the
Lord.
Name. It's broken. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Somebody has really felt like the whole season that was behind them now just been a waste. And the Lord's picking your heart up and saying, we're going to walk together now. If you'll open up to Him, if you'll open up to Him, if you'll open up to Him. Don't just let it be a moment. Let it be a momentum. Let it be a momentum. Let this time forward be a connection with the Lord. Go ahead and acknowledge before Him. I need you, Lord. I'm going to need you in the morning. I'm going to need you later today. I'm going to just need you. I'm going to just need you. I'm going to just need you. Hand me my phone. I just need you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You'll need the grace of God. I saw a prayer and it said, Dear Lord, so far today, God, I have done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that, but in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a whole lot more help.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. Loved one, you need to get ready because there's a team of us who've been praying constantly that revival break out in this house. And you're going to want to be a part of that. So just begin to prepare your heart for it. And some of you are going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. And you're going to go, I don't think I want to even go to church here. Well, I mean, what can we say? We love you. You know, we love you so much. But the Lord is about ready to move. Things are shifting. We've been in darkness for about 40 years. The eclipses move. The light is beginning to shine. And when the light starts, blessing is going to start coming. And you're not going to know what to do with the tsunami of blessing that comes. So you'll need to get your heart really in tight with Jesus. So good morning, honey.
You know what happens? Let me add to this little tsunami thought. You know what happens when the tide goes out? You see all the junk on the floor of the ocean.
Amen.
And the Lord says, I've already seen the junk. I already know the junk well. How many of you know the junk well? Tide's coming in. The glory of the Lord is coming. Let's set our hearts for it. Amen.